morning. How are you? Are you okay? Praise God. If you have a look at Hebrews chapter 11, we share a little bit from there. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Have a look at Romans chapter 4. And we'll read that. And then Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. The reason we live by faith is so that we can avail ourselves to the grace of God. You live any other way, it's not by grace. That's why when you live according to the law, it's not by grace, it's according to the law. When you think you can earn your way there, it's no longer grace. And the reason you live by faith is so that it might be by grace. And faith is the only way we access the grace of God. This great God of glory can only be touched and accessed by faith. His promises are accessed by faith. And it is by faith that it might be by grace. Hallelujah. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And it is by faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, that's the Jews, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, father of the Jews, father of the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Amen. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And we shared a little bit of that last week, that when this substance and this evidence come into our hearts, we can call a thing that's not as though it already is. And we shared on the test of our faith, because many times what we see and what we believe sometimes may contradict. If God says you're healed and your body says you're sick, the two contradict. But if the substance has come in and the evidence has come in, you need to believe the Lord instead of what you see. Are you okay? Now, the problem sometimes is we often think that healing must be instantaneous. Healing sometimes may be instantaneous, and when it does, when it is, it's a miracle. But many times, healing may not be instantaneous. The problem with our Pentecostal experience is many times we think God should do things right now, and all right? And because we have instant tea and a KFC and things like that, we think that the Lord should minister that way. The Bible says those who believe shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. And recovery may take time. And sometimes our faith is tested so that we may be sure of the promises of God. Are you all right? Say amen. Amen. Now, we share that substance is mass that occupies space. And evidence is proof of the existence of a matter. Something actually exists. Now, just because you can't see something does not mean it doesn't exist. Are you okay? The Bible says, by faith God created the world, and He created it out of things that were not seen. So they were not seen, but they still exist. Are you okay? Now, just because something doesn't exist does not mean it's not real. Are you okay? It exists, but it exists in the realm of the supernatural. It exists in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. Amen? And one of the greatest tests of our faith is that God will say one thing and our reality says another. Sight, God says one thing and we see another thing. Or God sees one thing and we see another thing. Are you okay? Now, remember what we said last week? We walk by faith and sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. But in essence, our physical body walks by sight. All right? So the contradiction of those two things, your reality and God's reality, when they contradict, the Bible says, let God be true and let every man be a liar. Now that is the contradiction that many times separate the ladies from the girls and the men from the boys. Hallelujah. Because everybody knew Lazarus was dead. And Jesus said, now he's sleeping. Jesus was very careful about how he spoke. And the disciples said, if he's sleeping, then he doeth right well. And Jesus had to come down to where they were. Said, actually, our friends did. And you read the Bible. It's in John 11, okay? He actually said, actually, he's dead. Before that, he didn't say he was dead. Why? Because he was walking by faith. He had to tell the disciples because the disciples were... So he had to tell them, admit to them. And if you read the prayer, he said, Father, for their sake I said it. Read the Bible. For their sake I said it. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. The question is, why did Jesus cry? Some people said, well, he cried because he loved Lazarus. He knows Lazarus coming out of the grave. Why would he cry when he knows the guy's coming out? He cried for their sake because of their unbelief. When substance come in, you call a thing that's not as though it is. Whether you got something or not, physically, you begin to walk by faith. And the greatest test of your faith is what you see and what you believe. What you believe will say one thing. What you see will say something totally, totally different. That's why sometimes you want to half kill your kid because he's doing something totally different from what you know he can be doing. Don't half kill the kid. You know what God said to Gideon? What did God say to Gideon? Rise, man of valor. You know what Gideon said? My tribe, my iwi, is the worst iwi in the whole nation. My hapu is the worst in the whole. And my family is the poorest of the poor. And I am the worst of my family. You come the wrong place. This is the worst city in the country. Some ding-dong called. What did he say? I want to find that guy and squeeze his neck. Why? Because he looks at the city only in economical terms. And he wants to rearrange his face. And if you believe him, you're going to say, whoa, Wanganui is the worst city in the country. And I come from I've got the worst. And God said, get up, man of valor. You'll smite the Midianites like you're smacking just one man. Now, this is a whole Midianite army coming every time when they harvest. And they dug holes underground so the Jews get underneath there to get away from them. And they just come take whatever they want. And God said, man of valor, you're going to smite the Midianites like you're smacking one man. Why is that? He called a thing that's not as though it is. God said, too many. Tell everybody that don't want to fight to go home. 22 grand left. Well, 22,000 left to go home. And then he said, take them down to the river, and I'll test them at the river. And he did. And out of only 300 were left. And God said, now that's fine. And then Gideon probably thought, what? I just lost my 300. And then God gave some instructions. Now, look at them. And just shout. Give me a break. Hallelujah. And so Gideon and his mates went down, listened to the tent in the middle of the night. And the Midianite army were talking. One guy said, I had a dream last night. I saw a barley loaf fell down from heaven. And that loaf rolled down and demolished all the tents. All of our tents, the tents of Midianite. And one said, that will have to be Gideon from heaven. And the bread of heaven will fight the fight of faith. So the instructions were stupid. All you have to do is light your candle, break your pitchers, and shout the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And the battle was won. And our test of faith is the same. God is going to test your understanding. Test what you know and test what you see against what He says. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Say amen. So what you do when you're tested, and many times we are defeated by what we see. Are you okay? That's why the Bible says when your faith is tested, be very aware about what you're looking at. Hallelujah. Because faith is the evidence of things not seen, and evidence is proof of the existence of a matter. Hallelujah. Now, if you read the book of Hebrews, it's, you're there, all right? And this is what it says about Moses. Verse 27, chapter 11, talking about Moses, we'll talk about that. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And Moses was going to be the prince of Egypt. He was going to be the Pharaoh raised in the house of Pharaoh. Now, remember what we said? born in a ghetto, raised in a palace. Our problem is trying to contend with the ghetto mentality as a child of the King. You're raised now in the palace, my father's house, or many mansions. All right. You're a child of the King, as many as received him. To them gave me power to become the children of God, even to those that believe in his name. So you're a child of the King. You can't change that. Whether you're crippled like Mephibosheth, you still sit at the table of the King. You sit as a son, you sit as a daughter of the King. The problem is you were born in the ghetto. And you have to contend with the two things. Hallelujah. So here is Moses. And the Bible says when he saw something, he did something amazing. He forsook Egypt. Now, you know what Egypt stands for? All your needs are met. Everything is at your beckoning. He's got everything. You know what the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes? Money is the answer to everything. You know what Jesus said? You either serve or you serve. Because in our experience, it's not money, it's God. God is God. So, here is Moses. He's got the answer to everything. His future, his position, his honor, his glory, everything. And the guy, the stupid guy, chose to be a slave. Why did he choose to be a slave? He considered the reproaches of the Savior greater riches than the riches of Egypt. And he forsook Egypt. Because he saw him who was invisible. And the test of his faith was, what did you see? What can you see? Well, he saw the glory of this majesty of this kingdom that's ruling the planet. And he also saw this. And he considered this. The reproaches of one Jesus Christ as greater riches than that of Egypt. And he chose to be a slave of Jesus than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That test is the same as ours. When Moses came and stood before the Red Sea, he could see the sea. He could see Pharaoh coming. Hallelujah. And he needed a miracle. And God said, move your mass into the sea and occupy space there. Now he could see Pharaoh coming and 3 million Jews saying, here comes the boss. And God said, move forward. You either believe that report or you believe that report. And every test of faith you find in Scripture has to do with what you see. And when he moved through, they walked through the Red Sea, 3 million people. And their stuff got onto the other side. And then he said, the Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. Bye. Put his rod out over the sea, and God closed the sea. Now, what would you do if you were facing the same Red Sea and you got 500 crumbling parishioners, and you don't know where you're heading? You walk by faith. That's when you need to lift your vision from what's there and look at Him. So the question is, what do you see? You know what God said to Jeremiah? What can you see? You know what He said? I see the blooming of an almond tree. Now that's amazing, because everything in the nation at the time was going wrong. And then God said, what else can you see? I said, I can see boiling pots being poured onto the... They're coming from up north, these huge boiling pots. And God said, you're seeing well. Even though there are boiling pots, you'd see the... So you have boiling pots, and here's the almond tree. And God said, I'm like that. The almond tree is the first one that blooms. And God said, I will stand behind my word to see that my word will perform. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Now, if I say to one of my kids, wash the dishes, I've just given my word. Are you okay? And then I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch to see if my word is going to be performed in their lives, whoever I ask. If I tell them, mow the lawn, tidy the backyard. And if I ask them that, I'm watching to see if my word will be performed. And if it's not performed, guess who's going to do it? I'll go mow the lawn myself. But why do I do that? The same thing God does. God will ask a church to do something, ask a man to do something, ask a woman to do something, and then God's going to sit there and watch to see if you will perform His word. And many times the word of God is aborted because we are scared, we disobey, we don't want to move forward. But when it's performed, it will not return void. And when it's performed, the Bible says, it will accomplish His pleasure. And that's why the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible. See, and when I see my son doing something I ask him to do, or my daughter doing something I ask her to do, I will see that it's performed. And as it's being performed, there's something happened to him. She can ask anything. But if I ask, if I send my word and it doesn't, you know what? No. No. Are you okay? Say amen. When they went to Canaan to spy out the land, 10 came back and said, we saw a mountain. We saw the giants. We can't. What they saw. They were defeated by what they... I mean, only 10 guys saw that. And it defeated a whole nation because they received a negative report. And they were defeated by a mountain without ever having a battle. We saw the mountain. I mean, 3 million people never saw the mountain. Only 10 saw the mountain. They saw the giants on the mountain. But 2 guys saw the same thing. And Joshua said, I mean, Caleb said, we are well able. We are well able. And the giants, the Anakims, they are... bread. Bread. They are what? Bread. What do you do with bread? You eat it. The more giants you eat, how many had bread yesterday? How many had bread last week? How many had You eat bread in the natural. Give us this day our daily bread. And sometimes we forget to eat spiritual bread. And from now on, you're going to be very careful about that prayer. Because when you ask God for bread, God may give you an anakim. So they had to look to God or look to the natural. 10 says we can't. 2 says we can. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So when you're tested in your faith, and God will test your faith. The Bible says, count it all joy. It didn't say it is joy. He said, you count it as joy. You count it as joy. It didn't say it's joyful. But you count it as joy. When you are, for the trying of your faith worketh patience. God tries your faith for patience. And so that you can get rid of the doubt. When patience has its perfect work, you will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Are you all right? When you walk by faith, hallelujah, we shared it before, everything you walk through is level. Nobody knows you walk through valleys and you climb mountains. Nobody knows that that's what you do. Because the same faith that overcome the mountain, the same faith that raised the valleys. You know what the Bible says? Make his paths straight. Let everything that's high be lowered. Let everything that's low be raised. So that everything. And when you see a man walking by faith, you think he's got no problems. He actually has problems, but he doesn't reveal it. And many people that walk by faith only tell you their stories after they come out of a huge test. But those that don't walk by faith will tell you every problem they've got. Is it all right? So faith levels the hills, raises the valleys. And you never think people that walk by faith have needs. They have tremendous needs. But they choose to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, have a look at 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. When you walk by faith, when you find a man of faith, a woman of faith, they talk very differently. Are you okay? I believe, therefore, have I spoken. Your confession of faith is important. And like the late Derek Prince says, if you don't confess your faith, it will be stillborn. So substance comes in, evidence comes in, And then you need to declare it. Declare your faith, what God has said would happen. Hallelujah. And even though things may work against what you're saying, hallelujah. Are you okay? God is not mocked. You will reap if you don't faint. Are you okay? Praise the Lord. Verse 16. Therefore. All right. Remember what we said? You find a therefore in the Bible. Find out what it's there for. All right. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. Let me tell you something. Your outward person is decaying. I don't care how you dress it up, how you paint it up, how you spruce it up. Your body is getting old. Many people in the West are very conscious of their age, and they're very conscious of their weight. So I found out early in the piece when I first came to New Zealand, you never ask a Kiwi, how old are you? They'll lie to your face. Why? Because they don't want people to know how old they are. God's older than you. Are you okay? Well, we had a old lady, her name was Connie Matuska. She'll come to church and say, "Oh, Lee, I'm getting old." I said, "Oh, Connie, God's older than you." All of us are getting old. And the Bible says, regardless of what happens, the inward person, this outward house that we live in, is decaying. The outward person is perishing. The inward man is renewed day by day. If I ask you, if I ask Pastor Stevens this morning, how old do you feel you are inside? He'll probably tell you 16 or 18. Because you still think the same. You still think. But when you try and run, you realize that the outward man is screaming. But the inward man is renewed day by day. You may get up in the morning, you may do all sorts of exercises, and that's very, very good. All right. And though the Bible says spiritual exercises is far more profitable, but, you know, you exercise, you look after your body. Amen. Exercise. But however much you exercise, you are getting old. Your body is decaying. It's dying. You say, that's not nice news. That's good news. Who wants to live in a body forever that is decaying? Hello? The inward man is renewed day by day. Let me get back to this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light afflictions is temporary. Whatever you're going through is temporary. Cancer is temporary. Whatever you're going through, poverty is temporary. Everything we go through in life is temporary. Your fat bank balance is actually temporary. I don't care how much you put in there. Let me reassure your heart, it's temporary. It could be taken in one moment. But the Bible says our light affliction, which is only temporary, works for us. It is actually working for us. it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So even the pain you go through, ultimately in the end, works for you. You may die on the operating table. Things happen. It still works for you. God works all things for the good of those that love the Lord. You don't know how He does it, but He's the only God who makes beauty out of ashes. Regardless of what you go through, you may go through struggles and pain. It's only temporary. But it works for you something eternal. Eternal weight of glory. Then God gives you the condition. It says this, while we look not at the things that are seen, but we look at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen, talk to me, the things that are seen are temporary. The things that are unseen are eternal. So when you're going through the testing of your faith, it's very important that you look at the right thing. Some people say, well, look, Hebrews 11. Let's have a look at this. You know, God, we worship God in spirit and truth. Spirit and reality. Truth. All right. It says in verse 34, by faith they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Oh, now it's turned. It says, are you okay? That they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings, scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, and that's not with marijuana either. They were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Hello? See, sometimes Christians, especially Pentecostal Christians, have a very triumphant understanding of faith. But when they come to death, sometimes they question, what happened? I preach in a funeral on Wednesday night in Auckland. Melanie got married in September. She was married for 70 days. Melanie was 40, got married, and she was 6 weeks pregnant. And she died at home. She was developing some, could hardly breathe. And her husband, they were both teachers at Avondale College, and her husband was texting her to see how she was. She was going to see the doctor. She never got time to go and see the doctor. She just died. A lot of people are saying, why did it happen? Hello? And I had to preach there. See, every one of us think God owes us a living. And everything one of us think, when I die, I should just die peacefully. I'll just take my hat off and say goodbye, Lord. Now, if you're a Bible student or a Bible scholar, You don't know the author of Hebrews. I know the author of Hebrews. Because my granddad told us when I was young, the author of Hebrews was Paul. That man got beheaded. He wrote the book. Now, how did he handle that? Substance and evidence. He saw him. I know him in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah. We think it's victory only in the terms of what we know as victory. You know what he said to death in the grave? He said, "Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory?" Are you all right? See, you live by faith. You live by substance and evidence. And you die by substance and the ultimate healing is death. No wonder God said, the day of your death is better than the day that you were born. Hallelujah. And this is what he said. A child who is stillborn, he goes from darkness to darkness. Never saw the light of day. You know what he said? That child is better than a man who lives for 100+ years, has 100 children, and does not know God. Now, God's comparison, you know, is it day of death, day of birth? All right? House of mourning, house of blessing. Stillborn, live. Hello? And he said, it's better to go to the funeral than to go to a party. It's better to die than to be born. And a stillborn kid who never saw the light of day is better than a man who lives 100+ years, has 100+ children, and never know God. How do we live? By faith. Are you all right? When we get to heaven, you're going to ask Isaiah, "Hoy, where did they cut you through?" They saw him in two. And it wasn't, you know, it would be nice if they just chopped him in half, but they... How did he endure? By faith. Faith is not a concept. Faith is not just a word. Faith is a lifestyle. We live by faith. I am mass occupying space. Hallelujah. And I am proof that heaven exists. Let's have communion. Are you okay? Now those ministering the emblems to come.
Are you folks all right? Mrs. North always said, I'm not all right. She's half left. Sometimes there is nothing wrong with your faith, but there is something wrong with your theology. A bad theology leads to a bad application of the Bible. Are you okay? That's why we have the mentoring class. The mentoring class kids are probably better equipped than most Bible college graduate with degrees, because they have a better application of the scriptures. I hope they understand and know that. Hallelujah. Are you okay? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Hallelujah. I shared on last Sunday night about a young man that married a prostitute. She came into the church. God blessed her. She began to live a life that was totally different. God totally transformed her life. Later years, she developed a relationship with a pastor's son, pastor of the church. He proposed to her, and she said yes, and was thinking of getting married, and the church said no. The leadership of the church said no. His parents were not happy. The church was not happy. And the reason was everybody knew her background. They asked the young man to say something. And he said, what's on trial here is not my fiance's background. What's on trial here is the blood of Jesus Christ, whether it is sufficient or not. Is the blood of Jesus sufficient? Because if it is, then we should get married. But if it is not, then we shouldn't, because it's not enough. I think everybody realized at the time that they were wrong. See, a wrong theology will give you a wrong application. We live by faith, but we still pass away. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Some of us, all of us, are going to die, one form or another.
I spoke at Lainey's funeral and I had to tell people, many of you think that God should do this and this for us. God is wiser than us. God gave, God takes away. Blessed be His holy name. God gave Lainey. God took her away. When she was born, God was there. When she passed away, God was there. She took with her her baby. I said to her husband, you've got more reason now to go to heaven. Not only to see your Savior, but to see your child and to see your wife again. You've only been married 70 days. Your wife has gone home. It's the best place. No one can look after your wife better than Jesus can. This is where we are all going. Every one of us is going there. Yet when it's time for us to go there, we fight and scream as though we don't want to go there. We'd rather go to Fiji than go to heaven. Fiji is a dump. So is Canada. Heaven is our home. The blood of Jesus Christ is enough. And until He comes again, we hold in our hands the emblems of a glorious hope that death will not hold us down. Death will ultimately be defeated. The last enemy that shall be conquered, and it will be conquered, is death. Jesus Christ conquered death. He said, and because I live, you shall live also. That's living by faith. We have a glorious hope. Hallelujah. And we celebrate the table of the Lord because we understand. We shared some time ago, first there's revelation, then there's consecration. Hallelujah. When Mary sang her song, my soul magnifies the Lord. Why? She understood something. My heart joys in God my Savior. Why? She understood something. You understand something. You and I understand something. And we celebrate with the glorious hope that we have, because we know Jesus died and rose again. Let's pray. Father, bless these emblems as we eat and drink. Help us to appropriate all that the cross of our Savior stands for. What His blood stands for. What His body stands for. Heal us. Cleanse us. Minister to us. I pray and ask in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just before you party, can you lift your hand? If you suffer from allergies, whatever kind of allergy you suffer from, can you just lift your hand? All right. Let's just, when we partake, can you mark some of those whose hands are uplifted, please? And after we eat and drink, I want you that are around them to gather around them and pray for them. All right. Somebody, all right, people at the back there, please just move across the aisle, pray for them, all right? Just minister God's healing power. Hallelujah. The Bible says He took our sins on His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. All right? Let's just partake by faith, and after that, pray for those whose hands are uplifted, please.